So you were letting us know that the person who may have developed the fantasy bond can begin to take some steps to help them get things turned around themselves. Just before we move into that and look more deeply into that, could you share with us how things might have turned out had the parent, when their child was still a younger child, begun to provide some of those emotional needs that the child needed?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think as parents, we can learn to be more loving all the time, you know, and the more that we are, it really does impact our child. And it turns out the thing that predicts how you'll be able to do this with your child to really offer love to them is whether you have felt the pain of your own childhood and made sense of it. It turns out that it's not a matter of how bad your childhood was that predicts how you're going to parent, but if you can feel the pain of what happened to you and make sense out of it, that coherent narrative, I actually just, we created an e-course on creating a coherent narrative. I taught it with Dr. Dan Siegel, and it's available on our website, PsychAlive. It's a very important process because it turns out when parents do that, they're able to offer more love to their children. They're able to see their children more clearly instead of projecting maybe how they felt when they were a child onto their child or responding to their child more in terms of how their parents were than how they really want to be. And any time we make changes in this, it will help our children. And yes, the younger we do it, the better. But, you know, even with our adult children, it matters how we relate to them. And the more that we can be honest with them and loving toward them, it still affects them, by the way. So, you know, yes, it's better to do this when our child's really young, but it never stops being important.
And so let's say we're looking at the person who might be, let's say, 30 years old, and they were neglected emotionally as a child, as a younger child. But now, for whatever reason, whatever has motivated it, the parent or parents are saying, you know what, I'm really sorry for having neglected you, for not having provided what you really needed when you were younger. And they began to do the things that helps this child, this adult child now, this 30-year-old child, begin to make changes in their brain. Are those changes just as automatic as the original imprinting and all were when the child was being neglected? And is that something that the child is aware of? Is there something that the child is doing, like making a decision to, say, for example, forgive? And does that help facilitate the process? Or is something else going on that's just automatic?
Right. Unfortunately, the first 6 years do get in a little bit more deeply and get more deeply ingrained than later on. So it isn't as impactful as if we did it the first 6 years. And actually now they're saying even the first 7 months matter a great deal. You know, because those attachment relationships really form in, in those really early months and up to 18 months, it's really important that we had a close attachment to somebody who was there for us. And again, it doesn't have to be the biological parent, but it has to be somebody who could provide us with a feeling of being safe, being seen for who we really were, and being soothed when we were upset. Those early years do get in more, but with a 30-year-old child, it still matters because partly by talking about what you're regretful for and what really happened when they were young, you're helping them to create a coherent narrative, to make sense out of some things that they may feel but not understand where they came from. Now, sometimes your child, your adult child, is going to be open to hearing those things. Sometimes they're not. They're going to say, no, it was fine. What are you talking about? You know, it's still important, though, to say those apologies and to say, look, at, you know, this is how I know I hurt you. I wasn't there for you. And, I think it's important for us to be able to talk about this because, you know, but sometimes parents, I notice, have the tendency to think they know how they hurt their child and want to tell their child and the child. And it may not be how the child thought.
Interesting.
So it is important to listen as much as we tell our children. But to have a real conversation with them about it, even when they're adults, I think is really helpful.
I tell you what, that is so insightful that even when it comes to mistakes we may have made, things that we may have done that were wrong, and we did them on purpose, knowing before we did them that they were wrong. And the child perceive very differently. And what we think hurt may not have hurt. What we think may have meant nothing to the child may have been one of the more painful experiences.
Yeah, it's a funny thing, but, you know, a lot of times as parents, we think that our child felt hurt in the way we felt hurt, or they felt hurt because we would have felt hurt if that happened to us. And it's not, they're not the same person as us. We make that mistake. And that's part of the fantasy bond, too, that parents have with their children. We tend to see our children as an extension of us. We think that they're like us more than they are. And sometimes it's one child and not another, you know, of our children. Maybe we think this one is like the dad and this one is like the mom, or this one's like our mother, or whatever we think. But, you know, the truth is, as much as they may have some of the characteristics of one or another of us, they are also their just own unique person. And rarely is their childhood exactly like ours. Almost always it's different in various ways. And so they're experiencing different feelings and different joys and different stresses, you know, than what we experienced. And also just because of their temperament and how they came into the world, you know, they may have different, you know, feelings too, and they might have other significant people in their life, you know, a grandparent or a caretaker. You know, having one caring adult in a child's life makes a huge difference. One person that's really there for them and, again, sees them and gives them safety and soothes them. And it doesn't have to be the parent. It can be, you know, the person down the street who always had a open heart for that person. And that's the way we can help all the people in our lives, you know, is we can be that, you know, caring, concerned person for them.
That is so interesting, so interesting. And you were mentioning that in addition to maybe having a happier ending by having the parents step up and start making amends, you were saying that another beautiful scenario is where the person who may have been neglected can take steps on their own to turn things around.
Yeah, they really can. They can, first of all, start to make sense of the fact that they were hurt by that neglect. You know, I mean, it's easy when you're being beaten to say, okay, that hurt, you know, or that wasn't good, or, you know, if you had some other form of abuse, you know, that you can say, okay, see, that was bad. But when it's more emotional, neglect, or just verbal abuse, it's harder to say, oh, that hurt me, and that really, you know, hurt my feelings. It scared me at times, or it made me feel like I was going to get abandoned, made me feel like I needed to take care of myself, and that's maybe why I developed this pattern of, and then maybe you can take steps in your adult relationships to let people in more, to take more of a chance on depending on your partner for things, or letting their love in. And, you know, it can feel really scary at first, but it is going to really grow your world. And for the person who's anxious and feeling like they need to stay focused all the time because their parent was intermittently available, they need to learn that, you know, that doesn't mean all partners are going to be that way. That, you know, sometimes we're better off letting down our defenses and just trusting and being willing to stay two separate, independent people. You know, usually when we fall in love, we're two separate, independent people who feel completely okay on their own. And then we get into a relationship, and then we start to feel like we're not okay without this other person, or we need them to be okay. Mm-hmm. And that, whenever we turn a love relationship into a need for safety or completeness, then we, that's part of a fantasy bond. That's a sign that we're in it and that we're no longer seeing them as a separate person with their own needs and wants. We no longer feel attracted to them like we did to the separate person they once were. You know, Dan Siegel talks about how we want to be really close but not mesh our identities, and he talks about it's better to be a fruit salad where the pieces of fruit are laying next to each other than a smoothie where we mix it all up together and blend it, and we're no longer sure where one person leaves off and the other person begins.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can't have a respectful, caring, loving, attracted attitude towards somebody who's part of you. They have to be a separate person from you. So it's having a strong sense of your own identity is the ideal, with a strong ability to connect with another person. You know,
that's fascinating.
You know, a fantasy bond is where you lose your sense of your own separate identity and you're not really connected. You're just kind of mushed together where it's not like a distinct, oh, I want to be connected to this person. I want to be close to this other person. You're just kind of their a part of you and not a separate person. And therefore, you can't, don't necessarily treat them very well.
Hmm.
Like the Laya Lovett song.
So the closer we are, the more we make them truly part of us, the more harm we may potentially do to the relationship.
Yeah, what we want to do is be really close, but still our own separate selves coming together.
I got you. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, more insights coming from Dr. Lisa Firestone in just a few. Stay with us.